Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
Yet, despite this progress, we still face two of the most challenging scenarios in CLL care. The patient who becomes double refractory to both BTK and BCL2 inhibition, and the patient who develops Richter transformation.
Today, Drs. Chang and Cohen join the podcast to discuss minimal residual disease, MRD, in CLL, clinical utility, and practicality in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Paolo Ghia, Professor of Medical Oncology at Università Vita Salute San Raffaele in Milano, Italy, where I'm directing the CLL program.
And I'm Lydia Scarfo, Associate Professor of Internal Medicine, also at Università Vita Salute San Raffaele in Milano, Italy.
Thank you, Lydia, for joining me today.
It's my pleasure, Paolo.
Over the past decade, the treatment landscape for chronic lymphocytic leukemia has been transformed by targeted therapies. First covalent BTK inhibitors, then BCL2 inhibitors, and then non-covalent BTK inhibitors. Yet, despite this progress, we still face two of the most challenging scenarios in CLL care. The patient who becomes double refractory to both BTK and BCL2 inhibition, and the patient who develops Richter transformation. In these settings, outcomes remain suboptimal and durable options are limited. CAR-T-cell therapy has emerged as a potentially practice-changing strategy in both relapsed refractory CLL and Richter transformation. While still largely delivered in specialized centers and often within clinical trials for CLL, the growing body of prospective data and recent European real-world analysis in Richters are reshaping how we think about referral timing, patient selection, and sequencing. In this discussion, we'll explore where CAR-T fits today and how hematologists can integrate it thoughtfully into the care of patients facing these high-risk scenarios.
So indeed, Paolo, you pointed out the two most relevant unmet clinical needs that still remain in CLL field, patients becoming refractory to both BTK inhibitor and BCL2 inhibitor, and those developing Richter transformation. Starting from patients with CLL, and in particular double refractory CLL, as you are well aware, in Europe, we didn't have the chance to use CAR T cells in the standard of care setting, but there were some clinical trials where also European countries were involved. I'd say that the issue with CAR T cells in CLL is that the disease is affecting the T cell compartment. So the efficacy in terms of long-term disease control seems somewhat lower compared to the results achieved in patients with lymphoma.
It is true, and indeed we know, and from the study, the Transcend study that led to the approval, at least in the US, not in Europe, as you correctly mentioned, we know that a portion of patients can indeed achieve complete remission. That is indeed the objective when you use CAR T cells. Partial responses are probably not relevant because we know that those patients will relapse. With complete responses, we can obtain much more durable responses. So, what is the typical patient who could benefit from CAR T cells?
I'd say that we have to consider on one side the efficacy. And so, as you mentioned, with CAR T cell, we aim at achieving complete responses because it proves that the standard IWCLL response criteria are more reliable in predicting long-term disease control in the setting of CAR T, even compared to MRD assessment. And on the other side, what we should also consider is the toxicity profile. And we know that with CAR T, there are some potential adverse events like cytokine release syndrome and neurotoxicity that could be more difficult to manage in elderly unfit patients.
Indeed. And now CAR T can also be used, though there is no approval in that setting, in patients with Richter transformation. And you know, you have been an author in the ERIC study. So what can you tell us about that?
We collected at the European and international level cases of patients with Richter transformation treated with CAR T cells. And what came out from these analyses is that actually the achievement of CR is related with long-term disease control and better progression-free survival, while probably as expected in patients achieving less deep responses, the disease tends to relapse quickly. And also age and comorbidity burden were somehow relevant in defining the tolerability profile of this approach, with elderly comorbid patients tolerating treatment, let's say, less well compared to young fit ones.
Yes, and indeed, as we mentioned, it is not approved for Richter transformation, but it was not somehow unexpected that we did see much more complete responses compared to CLL. So roughly 50% of the patients achieved complete responses, because indeed, Richter transformation is a large diffuse B-cell lymphomas, so it's more similar to the lymphomas where indeed CAR T cell works very nicely. But before thinking about the treatment, I would say, how can we be sure that we have a patient with Richter transformation?
That's a crucial question indeed, because nowadays, especially in double refractory patients with CLL, we can see very aggressive disease trajectory. So the only reliable way to diagnose Richter transformation, that as you know, is the development of a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma in the setting of CLL, is to perform a tissue biopsy. Generally, it's a nodal biopsy because there is a lymph node involvement, a clear lymph node involvement, and with the histopathological report of the lymph nodes, we can be sure that the patient has developed a Richter transformation. What we should also do, and is crucial in order to define the long-term management of the patient, is to check for the clonal relationship, because it's rarer, but sometimes it might happen that the patient is developing a de novo diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So a different clone of B-cells is showing aggressive features, but is not the same of the CLL phase. So these patients developing de novo diffuse large B-cell lymphoma have a much better outcome than patient with proper Richter transformation.
So two major take-home messages: perform a PET scan to identify the most reliable lymph node to biopsy, and second, perform the clonality assessment to be sure how to treat the patient and what type of patient you have in front of you. Then going back to CAR T, where would you place CAR T comparison to allogeneic transplant?
That's a great question, because of course we have only limited data, and as mentioned, in the majority of cases there are patient cohort collected from different sites with the use of CAR T cells, so only limited numbers. The issue with allogeneic stem cell transplant, of course, is always the risk of toxicity. So I would say that if we can get more reliable data on the use of CAR T cells in Richter transformation, even designing ad hoc studies, ad hoc clinical trials, that would be a more suitable approach compared to the use of allogeneic transplantation, that of course would require donor identification, a lower comorbidity burden, and it's potentially associated with severe toxicities.
So thank you very much, Lydia. And indeed, we discussed how to use CAR T in the current scenario of treatment of patients with CLL. And CAR T cell therapy has now firmly entered the treatment landscape for CLL, at least in the US, where liso-cel was approved for patients who have progressed after both BTK and BCL2 inhibition, offering a potentially durable option in a population with historically limited choices.
Yeah, I totally agree. And at the same time, emerging real-world and consensus data in Richter transformation underscore the importance of early referral, standardized evaluation, and total integration of cellular therapy as we continue to refine how best to improve outcome in this high-risk setting. Thank you, Paolo.
And thank you all for watching. We hope this discussion will help as you manage patients with advanced and refractory CLL and Richter's transformation.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PeerDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Chang and Cohen. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.